Our New Testament lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 21, verses 1 through 17. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all who sold and bought in the temple. And he overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold pigeons. He said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you make it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw what wonderful things he did, and the children crying out in the temple, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. And they said to him, "Do you hear what these are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of infants and nursing babies, you have prepared praise?" And leaving them, he went out of the city to Bethany and lodged there. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your written word. We thank you that all of it points to the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. We pray that you would grant us the help of your Holy Spirit, reminding us that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-control. Fill us with your Spirit that we might see Jesus afresh this day, and that we might join with the children in singing loud hosannas to our Redeemer King. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, friends, in the midst of this global pandemic, one of the things that we have been brought face to face with once again is how relatively powerless we are as human beings. We've been reminded of our frailty and our mortality. A microscopic enemy has brought our economy, our travel, our routines, and our social lives to a screeching halt. Plans have been canceled, jobs have come to an end, and lives, far too many precious lives, have been lost. God's sobering words to Adam are echoing through the voice of providence. "You are dust, and to dust you shall return." And God's words through the prophet Isaiah are being amplified. "I am the Lord, and there is no other besides me. There is no God." Through this global pandemic, God has been issuing a global declaration that He is God and there is no other. He is God and money is not. He is God and retirement is not. He is God and medicine is not. He is God and technology is not. He is God and sports are not. He is God and entertainment and travel and leisure are not. God is God and we are not. God is all powerful and humanity is not. Yet you and I know that we need to be strong during this crisis for our families, for our community, and for one another. Palm Sunday reveals how we get that strength, that power that we need to love and serve and persevere. Let's consider the power of Palm Sunday together this morning. First, Palm Sunday reveals the power of a king, a long promised and long expected king. He was first promised in the first gospel sermon ever preached. God himself preached that sermon in Genesis 3 and verse 15, and he preached it to Satan after Satan and sin had entered this world. God told Satan that this promised king, the seed of the woman, would crush Satan's head. The King of Kings would defeat the prince of darkness. And all of human history and biblical revelation have been about the unfolding of this real-life drama of good triumphing over evil, light over darkness, love over hate, and life over death. On that first Palm Sunday, Jesus was hailed as that long-promised king who would usher in victory for all who place their faith in him. The location of his triumphal entry signaled his royalty. Jerusalem was esteemed by the Jews as the city of the great king. They were accustomed to singing Psalm 48, which begins, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, is the joy of all the earth. Mount Zion in the far north, the city of the great king." And they worshiped Jesus as king in fulfillment of the prophet Zechariah, who had issued the Palm Sunday call to worship 500 years before, saying, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." This Palm Sunday call to worship issued 500 years before, being echoed through generation to generation, and now coming to fruition in Jerusalem. They worshiped in accordance with the victorious gospel preaching of the prophet Isaiah, who 700 years before had declared, "Behold, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the earth, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your salvation comes. Behold, his reward is with him and his recompense before him." And they worshiped with palm branches, as was the custom when a great ruler would enter the city. They worshiped in anticipation of Revelation chapter 7, where John sees a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And notice how Jesus responded to the worship of that first Palm Sunday. It's very instructive about who he is. his response to the worship that was rendered unto him. Jesus, the man of unparalleled humility, who only a few days later would wash his disciples' feet. Jesus, the man of complete devotion to God, who, when tempted by Satan to grasp worldly glory, said, "You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." This same Jesus did not decry the worship rendered to him on that first Palm Sunday. He received it, he welcomed it, he encouraged it. That tells us that Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee knew what the scriptures make clear. He is uniquely the Son of God. He is the Lord of glory, the divine ruler of all things, the all-powerful King of kings, worthy of all glory, laud, and honor. Palm Sunday is about the power of a king. In the second place, Palm Sunday is about the power of love. The power of love, not just a Huey Lewis song, though that is a good one. It is more importantly the theme of Palm Sunday, and indeed the theme of the Christian faith, the power of love. King Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, a symbol of peace. This symbolized that he came not to condemn or destroy those who had rebelled against his kingship, but rather to melt them with his love and save them by his grace. The kingdom of this king comes not with swords loud clashing nor roll of stirring drums, but with faithful deeds of mercy and divine demonstrations of love. The love of this king is seen in his humility on Palm Sunday, not only in the fact that he rode a donkey, but also in his request of it. Think of the words of Jesus to his disciples. "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." Think of those amazing words. The Lord needs them. And think of what that communicates about the humility of our Lord and what he did for us because he loves us. He who is the only begotten Son of God, by whom all things were made, for us and our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, true man. The divine king became a needy human being for us, in need of Mary's nourishment and nurture, in need of Joseph's provision, in need of food and water and rest. And now, in order to do the Father's will and save us from our sins, the Lord of heaven and earth was in need of a lowly donkey and her colt. This king rode into Jerusalem knowing that the crown with which he would be coronated would be a crown of thorns, and the throne upon which he would sit would be a cross. He knew that those who were crying Hosanna would soon be crying Crucify Him. He knew that we ourselves are that fickle and that duplicitous and that easily led away from Him. He knew that on the throne of the cross, He would be taking to Himself not the worship that He deserves, but rather all our sins and the judgment of God that is rightly ours. The powerful love of this powerful king led Anglican bishop and missionary to China, Frank Haughton, to write, "Thou who wast rich beyond all splendor, all for love's sake becamest poor. Thou who art God beyond all praising, all for love's sake becamest man. Stooping so low, but sinners raising heavenward by thine eternal plan. Thou who art love, beyond all telling, Savior and King, we worship you." Palm Sunday is about the power of a king, the power of his love, and in the third place, Palm Sunday is about the power of praise. When Christ exercised his kingly rights by cleansing the temple in an effort to restore it as a house of prayer, and as he demonstrated his kingly power and love by healing the blind and the lame, children, seeing the wonderful things that he was doing, praised their king, saying, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Their praise made the chief priests and the scribes, those who had set themselves against the Lord and against his anointed, furious. Their reaction is a window into the mysterious power of praise. When believers unite in childlike, confident, joyful praise of Jesus, Satan and his hacks become very nervous because such praise, united in Christ and in the Holy Spirit, as God's people unite together in such praise, that praise signals their defeat. Jesus said to those hacks, "Yes, I hear the children's praises." And then he quoted Psalm 8, which says, "Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you, O God, have ordained praise because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." In other words, childlike praise is a mighty weapon that routs God's enemies. That is one of the reasons why Dr. Jackson and all our musicians have worked so hard to put together the music for these virtual services. That's why Christy Kelly and Michael Moon have worked so hard to make them available through the bulletin and on the web. We know that your home needs to be full of prayer and praise. Your home needs to be a house of prayer. Your home needs to be a home full of the singing of God's praise so that your home will be a place of light, life, love, unity, and peace. In other words, a place full of the Satan-crushing, kingly, loving power of Jesus. And as our homes are filled with praise, our communities are filled with praise, and our nation will be filled with praise to the chagrin and the defeat of Satan and his hacks. The early church father Clement of Alexandria said, "When believing congregations praise the Lord, Satan is overthrown in the surrounding area, and the gospel goes forth in power." Martin Luther said, "The devil hates music because he cannot stand the gaiety." And Amy Carmichael, that great missionary, said, "I believe truly that Satan cannot endure it and so slips out of the room when there is a true song." May your home be a place where the power of praise is mightily at work. And may each of us know the power of that wonderful word the children used to praise Jesus on that first Palm Sunday, the word Hosanna, which means "You save us." In other words, we know we cannot save ourselves. We cannot deliver ourselves from bondage to sin. So you, King Jesus, must save us. May you rejoice in his perfect salvation on this Palm Sunday. And if you have never called out to Jesus for salvation, may today be the day when you call on King Jesus and know for sure that your sins are forgiven and that you will spend eternity with him. A clear way to know this certainty is to pray to God today. Confess your sins to him and be as specific as possible. Thank God for his mercy and forgiveness given to you in Jesus Christ. Promise to follow and obey Jesus as your Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to help you be faithful to Jesus as you grow in your new life in him. May you know the power of Palm Sunday today. Let us look to the Lord in prayer. Almighty Father, we have sinned against you in our thoughts, words, and actions. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. Thank you for forgiving our sins through the death of our powerful, loving King, your Son, Jesus Christ. We offer ourselves to you in praise and adoration. Fill our hearts and our homes with the aroma of Christ. May the joy of your salvation permeate our lives and our communities. Strengthen us with your Spirit to love you. Follow Jesus in our fellowship with him in his church, and become more and more like him each and every day. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our closing hymn is Hosanna Loud, Hosanna, the Little Children Sang. Let us sing it with joy and with triumphant, childlike faith.